Our scripture passage this morning is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7, and then also in the book of John, John 8, verse 12, which are found on page 1072 in your pew Bibles and 1662 in your pew Bibles, respectively. But before we read God's word, let's go to Him in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer this morning hour, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to what your word has to teach us this morning. Guide us and direct us that we may understand your word and walk with you in the way that we need to walk. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, 6, and 7, and then John 8, 12. Hear the word of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And skipping down to verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And now turning to John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. How many of you know the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? If you know that story, raise your hand. Well, it looks like many of us know the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's a story that probably many of us became familiar with when we were children. I think they still show the same clay animated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show that they showed when I was a little boy. And maybe when many of you were little boys and little girls. It's a story about this reindeer who has, of all things, a red nose that glows. And it was because of this glowing red nose that the other reindeers teased and picked on Rudolph. This thing that made him unique also made him stand out. But the funny thing is, in the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the very thing that made him get teased and picked on is the one quality that became his greatest strength. And the main purpose of the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is this: to learn the lesson that we shouldn't judge a book by its cover. And that's a good story. The reality is, in our world, there are two forces that battle each other constantly. Those two forces that battle each other constantly are good and evil, right? We're all kind of aware of that. Nowadays, instead of making clay animated shows about this kind of thing, they have this Marvel comic stuff where they've got Captain America and Wonder Woman and all of those kind of shows, right? The Avengers, there's Iron Man, all kinds of people, Batman, that they try to teach some of these same lessons with, that we're not to judge a book by their cover and that there's a battle between good and evil. But this isn't something of comic books and animated television. The battle between good and evil is a real thing. And the Bible talks about it a lot. In fact, the Bible talks about it in terms of darkness and light. Evil is darkness, and light is good or righteousness. Those are the metaphors that the Bible uses oftentimes to talk about these two things. So when the Bible says the light has come to the darkness, and in fact light overpowers darkness, we have to understand that we still have the same decision in front of us. We need to choose which way we're going to walk. Are we going to walk in darkness, or are we going to walk in the light? That's what Isaiah is asking us to think about this morning. So what will it be? Will we continue to stumble in the darkness, or are we going to follow the one who's the light of the world? Stumbling in the darkness isn't a whole lot of fun. In fact, the other day, I got up early, and it was dark in the house, and somebody in our house left the stool that sits by the kitchen counter out a little ways, and I had just got done with my shower, and I have two less toes, by the way, because I had an encounter with that stool a couple of days ago, and I don't know who left it out. I'm not naming any names. It could have been myself, but I am now the recipient of having eight toes instead of 10 because of the fact that I stubbed my toes on that stool. The darkness is never our friend, is it? I mean, I sure didn't enjoy stubbing my toes in the dark because I didn't see the stool that was in front of me. I can't think of one redeeming quality that the darkness really has. And yet there are so many times that people choose to walk in darkness. But walking in darkness is an absolute dangerous place to be because we have no idea where we're going. But very rarely in our world do we experience dark. That's what I call it. You know, when it's really dark, where there is no light. See, we have moonlight. We have starlight. We have house lights. We have street lights. We have yard lights. How often is it where it's just dark, like pitch dark, where you can't see your hand in front of your face kind of dark? That doesn't happen very often in our world. But that's the world that Isaiah lived in. You know, the light they had maybe was an olive oil lamp in at night in their home or in their tent. There wasn't, if it was cloudy, there wasn't starlight, there wasn't moonlight, there was no way to see. So when Isaiah talks about there are people walking in the darkness, he's talking about really dark. I mean, no kind of light or anything of the sort. This is so dark you can't see. Kind of like when the power goes out and you have to go in the basement to get a flashlight and there is no light down there, and you fumble around and feel around until you finally find that flashlight, and then you feel like you found something and the batteries are dead, right? And then you gotta find new batteries for it in the dark. I think we've all been there. But that's the darkness that Isaiah is talking about. A superior kind of darkness that just overwhelms and overshadows everything. That's what it's like to live in the shadow of death. The darkness is helplessness. It's a place where we're trapped by sin. It's a place where we're trapped by death, and there's absolutely nothing we can do except just kind of feel our way around, but never find it, what it is that we're really looking for. In the darkness, you can be surrounded by danger and not even know it. That's the problem with darkness. In the darkness, we can easily be tricked. We can easily be fooled. We can easily get ourselves turned around. When I was in school learning to be a fireman, part of the class I had to take, which was called Firefighter 1, they put a garbage sack over our heads. Now, I don't recommend this to anyone because you can't breathe when you have a garbage sack over your head. But understand that I had a respirator on, a breathing apparatus like you'd have if you went into a burning building, and it was turned on so I could breathe just fine. And then we had to navigate our way through a kid's playground, you know, one of those playground structures where there's slides and there's tunnels and things like that, and we had to do this in pairs, in tandem with a buddy, and I had to hang on to the guy's foot who was in front of me. And oh, by the way, he had a bag over his head too. And in order to pass this part of the class, we had to successfully navigate our way through this obstacle course that they had laid for us before us without getting turned around. And so it was an interesting process, and it did bring a few laughs, not when I had the bag over my head and was crawling through it, but when I was watching other guys have to do the very same thing. It all looked sort of silly, but it was easy for people to get tricked and fooled and get turned around because they couldn't see where they were going, especially when it was an uninformed environment or a foreign environment, a place that you weren't comfortable, a place that you didn't know. The darkness can become overwhelming. The reality is this. The darkness is a place that you and I were not created to live in. We weren't created to live in that place. But the darkness is the place that we find ourselves in. And we find ourselves there because of sin. And because of sin, we're trapped in the darkness. And because we're trapped in the darkness, we can't get out. And how many of us enjoy the idea of being trapped? Anybody like the idea of being trapped by something? It really doesn't sound all that appealing, but I want to bring something to your attention. Because in John 3, verse 19, Jesus points this fact out to us, or God points this fact out to us there, and it's going to pop up on the screen. This is what John 3, 19 says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Let that verse sink in for a moment. We just got done talking about how the darkness isn't a good place for us to be. It's not a comfortable place to be. In fact, it's a place that can trap us, and it can keep us and keep us from experiencing life like we're supposed to experience it, and we weren't created to live in darkness. And then we read this in John 3:19, that light has come into the world, meaning Jesus has come into the world. Because we read John 8:12, right? And Jesus said he was the light of the world. But men loved the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Is that true? Do we love the darkness more than we love the light? The reality is darkness shadows the truth. It hides the facts, and it can keep us from being seen. How many of us have ever played hide and seek in the dark when we were younger? It's a lot of fun to play hide and seek in the dark, isn't it? How many of you have ever hidden from somebody in the dark only to jump out and scare the living daylights out of them? That's super fun. If any of you would ever like to do that to Tammy, just stop by the house when you see her car here at night, and I'll give you the key and let you into church, and you can sneak up on her and scare the living daylights out of her. Because it is a lot of fun, let me tell you. Scaring Amy and Tammy in the same week is even more fun. And the reality is you just have to walk softly and you can scare them. So if you need any help, just let me know. But the darkness is a place where we can be frightened, and yet we still choose to live there. Why is that? It's not a place we can thrive. It's not a really great place for us to live, because the darkness is a place where people are living to die. Yeah, they're getting to do maybe what they want to do and think like they want to think and act like they want to act, but they're living to die. They're maybe hiding who they really are, but in the process, they're living to die. And God saw all that. He saw us stumbling, he saw us falling, he saw us suffering in the darkness. And God said, I have to do something. He saw our human condition, and he saw his marvelous and perfect creation, and he saw what was happening to it. And he said, I have to do something. I have to overcome this evil that has overcome them. And God sent his son, the light, into the world. The important thing for us to understand this morning is the compassion that God has for us. He really, truly does love us. Could God have judged us and said, yep, they're bad. They deserve what they're getting. Yeah. How many times haven't we thought that before in our lives when something bad's happened and we say, yep, I deserve it because I did this wrong or I did that wrong. Or we see somebody else going through a difficult time and we believe they deserve it. But that's not how God is, and that's not how God has called us to be wired either. God is a God of compassion. And he sees the overwhelming darkness and he says, something's got to change, because the fact is, we were not made for darkness. Whether it's when we lose electricity in the middle of the night, how much relief do you not have when the power comes back on? And if you have hogs in a hog building, there's a tremendous amount of relief when the power comes back on, isn't there? What about when the sun hasn't come out for a number of days and it's been gloomy and foggy and maybe rainy? You know, like our whole summer? How relieved aren't you on a day like today when you can look out the window here and see the sun coming into church? And it just makes you feel better. I know when I see the sun, it just gives me a better feeling. That light, that warmth that the sun brings just makes my day better. It always makes me feel better. At least that's been my experience. It's always welcomed. Our passage from Isaiah 9, we're told about the fact that people are walking around in the darkness and they see a great light. Now, traditionally, we hold this passage in Isaiah 9 as a prophecy of Jesus coming. Jesus, we know, is the great light. And then we read Jesus responding to this reality in John 8, where he says, I am the light of the world. But I want us to think about this from a little bit different perspective. Imagine you were a shepherd 2,000 years ago, sitting in the hills of Bethlehem, and it was dark. Dark, except for that one bright star that you could see in the sky. It was curious to see that bright star. Maybe the shepherds really didn't notice it because they had a lot of other things going on. But the reality was, at the snap of a finger, they're suddenly met with a great light. And in that great light, they hear an angel proclaim that there is good news for all people, that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. So they saw this great light in the hills of Bethlehem, and then they went to Bethlehem and they found Jesus laying in a manger, and they saw an even greater light. They saw the light of the world, just like the angel had told them about. God gave an answer to our problem with darkness. And I'm sure at that point, in the light, everything seemed to make more sense to them. See, light reveals. It allows us to see. It exposes our eyes. It shows us the trouble spots that might be ahead. It shows us how to do things. Have any of you guys ever had to fix something on a piece of equipment and you could reach it, you could feel it, but it was shadowed and dark in there and you couldn't really see, and then you finally went and got a flashlight or a light to put on it, and then everything just went better? Like faster, you got it fixed faster because you could finally see? I know I've been that, maybe I'm the only dumb one that gets myself into that situation where I don't take the light initially, but I know that makes all the difference for me when I can see what it is I'm doing. And I'm going to guess it maybe makes the difference for you as well. Let's look at John 8:12 again. I'm going to read that to us again if you still have your Bibles open. This is what it says. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Never walk in darkness again. That sounds good to me. Doesn't it sound good to you? It means that that in Christ we have the opportunity to leave evil behind, to be forgiven, and to get rid of the misdeeds of the past out of our lives. See, Jesus came into the world to show us a new way to live so that we could follow him. So really the choice is this: do we follow or do we not follow? Do we hide in the darkness or do we learn to walk in the light? So there are three truths that we must learn if we're going to follow Jesus. As we look at Isaiah chapter 9 and also John 8. The first of these is that darkness is not our friend. And that's an important one. We've talked about that quite a bit already this morning. Evil is intent on destroying me, and evil is intent on destroying you. Remember what Isaiah says, that the darkness is the shadow of death. Now that doesn't sound all that appealing to me. It's a place where you and I are extremely vulnerable. It's a place that leads to destruction instead of life. There's no reason for any of us to love the darkness. Whatever we might believe it's hiding, it's doing nothing but tricking us. In fact, it's an evil and malicious trick. The darkness deceives and the light reveals, and it's important for us to remember that truth. Therefore, we need to learn to shun evil or push evil out of our lives and let light into our lives and learn to avoid all kinds of unrighteousness. And the reason this is true isn't because our parents say so or because the government says so or even because the minister says so. We need to avoid unrighteousness because that's what's killing us. Do you believe that? That unrighteousness is killing you? It's destroying you. It robs us of our freedom. It traps us in despair and it uses us up. Darkness will always leave us broken, used, abused, and when it's done with us, we'll be discarded like a piece of trash. That's what darkness does. That's what evil does. That's Satan's plan. Use, abuse, and then discard us like a piece of trash. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want that for my life. And I have seen it firsthand where the evil one comes in and controls and uses and abuses people and discards them and makes them feel like they're worth less than nothing. It leaves them broken, destroyed, hurting. That's the world of darkness. That's not what God wants for you and I. See, darkness keeps us from understanding our full potential. It keeps us from seeing the unique qualities that God has put in each one of us. Qualities like kindness and compassion, selflessness, friendship, honesty, just to name a few. See, the world doesn't have any place for that. The darkness doesn't have any place for that. It says, you don't need that kind of stuff. In the darkness, you're number one. In the darkness, you're in control. In the darkness, you get what you want. In the darkness, you live like you want to live. And nobody's going to tell you to live differently. That's life in the darkness. And while that may be attractive for a little while, it just leaves us broken. We need more. We need to learn that the darkness is not our friend. Second, the light has come to rescue us. Don't be afraid of the light. Don't be afraid of what the light reveals. Because the light is going to reveal everything, every imperfection. Just go out and look at my pickup today. You'll see every imperfection. I just washed it. You can see it in the light. Stand in front of the mirror in the bathroom and look at yourself. And unfortunately, it's real bright there and you'll see every imperfection. There's no Photoshop in the mirror. Did you know that? It's okay. Maybe we're looking at the wrong things if that's all we're looking at. The light reveals, the light shows us, what is it that we should be looking for in the light? You know, Jesus Christ was born for a reason. He was born so that you and I might be born again. Not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit and learn to live in His wonderful light. And that's why Jesus says in John that He is the light of the world. He's the light that Isaiah is talking about here. He is the Son who was given, the one who would bring peace. He's going to rewrite what's important. Are you letting Jesus rewrite what's important in your life so that He can shed light on the real things of value instead of what the darkness says things of value are? What does Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He tells Zacchaeus that He came to seek and save those who are lost, and also the teachers of the law who were there. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The very next verse after John 3:16 says that He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. That's why Jesus came. That's what the light does. The light saves. The light brings us out of the darkness. Jesus came to go to the cross to destroy the very symbol of darkness and pay for our sin. This is what the light has done, and that's why the light comes to rescue you and I. Third, we need to recognize that Jesus came to change how we live. This might be the hardest of the three. Jesus came to tell us we need to change how we're living. We can't keep doing what we've always done. Now that makes sense. If the way we've been living got us into trouble and got us in darkness in the first place, then that means we have to learn to live differently, correct? We can't keep doing what we're doing. Somebody said this to me this week, and it's brilliant. You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect to get a different result. Right? You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect to get a different result. You're going to get the same result every single time if you continue to follow the exact same pattern. And doing what we've been doing is what has got us into trouble in the first place. So we can't continue to sin. We can't continue to live in the darkness. We can't continue to hide in the darkness because we have to learn to walk in the light. It's important for us to recognize that Jesus Christ came into this world to bring change into our lives. That's the message of Christmas. Christ came to bring change. He came in a little package. He came as a little itty-bitty baby, right? But He came to bring change. He didn't come to leave things as they were or to continue on with the things the way they were, because change needed to happen, because we can't keep doing what we've always done and expect a different result. He came to show us a new way in which to live. I love it when Jesus calls Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And He says, come follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen of fish. Now they couldn't keep fishing for fish and be fishers of men and be His disciples. They had to change. They had to change occupation, they had to change their location, they had to change what they were doing, or they couldn't do what Jesus was asking them to do. He brought change into their lives, just like He's going to bring change into your life and my life. We can't keep doing the same thing. He's got a new hope and a new direction for us, and He's going to shed light in a new path on the way in which we are to walk. Being a follower of Jesus means I have to change. And Advent ushers in a time for us to think about that change, to think about what the Savior of the world is doing. The final question is this: are we going to let him change us? Are we going to let him show us the way out of darkness into his wonderful light? Time is short. There's only 2 candles left. What will we choose? Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you would show us a new way to live. Show us the things that the world has told us don't matter in our lives really are the things that can bring blessing and joy to others. Lord, light our path. Much like you lit the way for so many who have come before us, help us to walk with you. And Lord, we pray now as we take an offering that it will be offered up to you, that you will use it, and that you will use those that give to walk in your way and to call more people to your path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.